It's the Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. I'm Jim Cunningham, Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh, plus Imani Wins. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, 7:30. The maestro is here, Edward Leonard, and the executive director, Andrew Swenson. Men, good to see you both. How come your show is so soon after the Messiaen that you did with great success just a couple of weeks
ago? It's a long story, but Imani Wins said this is when they can do it, so that's when we're going
to
do it.
And they are great. They are going to be fantastic. In our studio as guests, and they've been here before. We've had them at WQED. Monica Ellis, the bassoonist, is from Pittsburgh. Her mom still lives here. They're always great when they perform for Chamber Music Pittsburgh, and they're doing a residency with your colleagues at Chamber Music Pittsburgh as well.
That's correct.
Yeah, the it's a great opportunity for collaboration between us and Chamber Music Pittsburgh. Chamber Music Pittsburgh received a grant in order to host Imani for the year, and then they've been programming Imani in these different locations around town, so that essentially Chamber Music Pittsburgh's brought in this wonderful artist that then gets to enjoy performance in different venues. They played in City of Asylum earlier this week, and they're going to be playing on Chamber Music Pittsburgh's own calendar in a concert recital later in the year. And we're delighted to have the opportunity to work with them this Saturday.
The program for Saturday.
The program will feature the Imani Wins playing a piece by a former French horn player in the group, Jeff Scott. He wrote a piece called Sacred Women, and we're doing the second movement out of that, inspired by Brazilian religious traditions. And then the second piece they're doing with us is a 20th century work by Boris Blocker, a rare piece for a woodwind quintet and strings. It's kind of like a symphonia concertante. Fantastic piece by a composer that's more known as a teacher, but a great composer. And then the second half of the program will be an arrangement of Brahms' First Serenade.
With Imani Wins?
They won't be playing on that one. We have the woodwind, the Jeff Scott piece is a double woodwind quintet. So the chamber orchestra woodwind quintet will be featured on the Brahms, if that makes any sense at all.
I think I got it. I know it'll be good.
It'll be good.
Excellent.
It's a fantastic piece by a 24-year-old Brahms.
I love anything with Brahms. Didn't he throw out, burn most of the things that he wasn't satisfied
it's
with?
It's a real shame. I understand, but he had the compulsion to destroy any pieces that were earlier or he thought were inferior or that he did an arrangement of. And this is one of them. He originally wrote it for a nonet, so a woodwind quintet plus a string quartet. And then his colleagues, Clara Schumann and Joachim, said this is a terrific piece. It needs to be a bigger orchestra. So he wrote it for chamber orchestra. They said the same thing. It needs to be bigger. So he wrote it for what we consider a symphonic orchestra and destroyed the original versions. So we're doing a kind of recreation that was done in the late 20th century of what was probably closer to what he had in mind originally.
How many players will you have on stage, approximately?
We'll have 19 players for that piece. So it'll be five, the woodwind quintet, and then 14 string players.
That's the Brahms. To go back a little bit, Imani Wins, I'm sure you'll have some folks that might hear our conversation that have no idea who Imani are. What's special about Imani Wins?
They're amazing musicians. They're terrific to work with. They're very down-to-earth people, and they're twice Grammy-nominated classical musicians. I mean, they're internationally renowned. It's one of those things you asked earlier. Why are our concerts so close together? And it's because that's when they can do it, and they're worth making sacrifices on our part to make that happen.
And they really are a nationally and internationally celebrated artist. And this is a tremendous privilege that we couldn't pass up on. So it's good that we can fit it into our schedule as we did, because this gives us an opportunity for more people to see the incredible artistry of Imani. As Eddie said, they've been twice nominated for a Grammy. They have their work, their recording, has even been included in the Smithsonian's History of African American Culture in the permanent collection there. So these are some heavyweight artists that are coming to Pittsburgh, and you can walk right up and enjoy them from the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And as African-American musicians, they bring a hopeful message that the future of classical music will be a little bit more colorful.
I agree, yes. And that's always been our mission with the Chamber Orchestra of Pittsburgh is to just include that in our thinking, include that in our programming, is diversity and thinking outside the box in every way and not just do the status quo. So when Imani came to us, Kristen L'Infante came to us, I felt, first of all, very just kind of flattered and that they would even think of us and that we're doing something right with our growth and image and quality that they want to work with us. So it's just a lot of boxes being checked, and it makes me very happy.
The other thing that I would add on that is not just performers who are diverse in nature, but also composers. The Jeff Scott piece and Eddie's programming generally is also looking for those places where classical music can grow. And Jeff Scott's a contemporary composer. We have a consistent part of our mission to feature contemporary composers that with whom you might not yet be familiar, but that deserve a stage. And then Jeff Scott himself is a person of color. And it's great to be able to give composers who are bringing a new dimension to classical music an opportunity for their work to be heard.
I don't want to forget to ask you, how did it go with From the Canyons to the Stars, Olivier Messiaen, as an opener?
Well,
a marketing executive might come in and take a look at your season and think, What are you crazy or what?
Yeah, it was an experience, and musically it was an experience. From an administrative side, it was an experience. I didn't conduct. I went to every single rehearsal, and I set up rehearsals. I wear many hats, and it was a real pleasure to work with all the soloists, with the conductor Kevin Fitzgerald, Daniel Pesca, the pianist, Matthew Coley, Hannah Weaver, Mark Houghton. Just incredible musicians and the orchestra, incredible players, incredible piece. And unfortunately, you just have to accept Messiaen is a different language. It's one that you have to get used to. And we're just trying to do our part. And I was very, very proud that we gave the Pittsburgh premiere of that piece.
Ravel's Bolero, Carl Orff's Carmina Burana, box office. Olivier Messiaen, not box office.
Right. And, you know, I understand. Listening to the music, it's like, wow, it's a completely different language. It's scary. And if you're used to Ravel, Brahms, Beethoven, and I know we're doing Brahms, so it's, you know, whatever. But if you're used to that and that's what you expect, it's shocking. And I think that that's part of our job is to shock. And it's not going to hurt you. It's just different. And Messiaen, when you dive in, is on the level of Ravel and Stravinsky, Bartok. Just an incredible composer. And when you get into the intricacies and the depth of his craftsmanship as a composer, I think he might be one of the most underrated composers. It does take some getting used to, for sure.
The other thing I'd piggyback on that is that we see ourselves as having a role of playing things that aren't getting a stage otherwise, in so many ways. Playing composers, you know, commissioning new work, playing composers that you haven't heard of. Boris Blocker is going to be composing something that's tonal, but how many people are, programming a Blocker piece? Yet we are. And Messiaen, much the same way. Here, you've got this piece that was commissioned in conjunction with the American Bicentennial back in the 1970s.
Right.
And yet it's never been played in Pittsburgh from any time from the 70s until now. And you've got a piece that's exploring through music this visual spectacle of the American West. That's a great story. It's a great musical narrative. And Messiaen gave all of these notes. So, you know, one part of the experience was being able to essentially read Messiaen's narrative as you were listening to Messiaen's narrative through the music. And that was special. And then beyond that, looking at a composer who's, as Eddie said, is pressing boundaries, which we want to do too, and giving an audience an experience to get outside their own box, so to speak. And I love you know, all those big names, the, you know, the big Bs, you know, Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, I'll listen to that all the time. But at the same time, music is a dynamic experience. And so it's nice to press these boundaries. And I'm proud that we're doing it.
I was so impressed. I thought it was very bold to open your season that way. Although to not open with the music director, artistic director, creative force for the fan base Pittsburgh. Come on, man. I know.
Well, Kevin is, he's been working on this piece for years. It does take years of study, and he's a Messiaen specialist. He's a great conductor, and he's the assistant, I think, at the Jacksonville Symphony, and came in, and he did a marvelous job. And the score, just from a conducting standpoint, is very daunting. Every measure is different. It's kind of, sometimes the tempo changes are the opposite of what you expect looking at the notation. His rhythm and explanations were just right on. I like to just see him work and see his approach to the score, and I was thinking, as Andrew was saying about pushing boundaries, with this piece, the compliment I got the most was a thank you for doing this piece, because we never thought we would hear this live, and it's one of those pieces that. Yep. You have to experience it live. Recordings just don't do it justice. It's one of those kinds of pieces. The biggest compliment I got just across the board was, thank you for doing it. I never thought I would hear it live, and I probably never will again. And I was very, very pleased, not that they'll never hear it again, but that we were able to provide that experience for them, because a lot of people live for Messiaen, you know. And to give them that experience was huge for us.
We are talking on the first day of fall. Before you know it, it will be December.
It will.
What are you doing for your December holiday program?
We are having a terrific singer-songwriter, Joy Ike, come back to join us for some arrangements of her pieces. She played with us, I think it was January 2018. It was a while ago, but she's... She's from Pittsburgh. I think her background's Nigerian, but she is just this amazing across-the-board artist. She's one of those people that is an artist and chose music, if that makes sense. And she's just an amazing talent, amazing poet, amazing pianist, and sensitive musician, and I've been looking for an opportunity to work with her again, and this popped up, and she's available. So that's December 3rd. So we do have quite a break from this concert to the next one, which will be a nice respite for us.
Super. Details of how to get tickets. Can I show up at the door? Will I pay more if I do that?
The fastest and easiest way right now is to go to our website at copgh.org, and you'll see a ticket link. You can go to the concerts tab, and you'll see a ticket link for every individual concert. You're also welcome to come to the door. So if you come to the door, walk-up sales are available right on the spot. Tickets to get in are $30 for all that are of age, and $10 for students.
It's great to see you both. I want to wish you the best. It always brings me joy when you two walk in the door. Andrew Swenson, and the executive director of the Chamber Orchestra Pittsburgh. Edward Leonard will be conducting the concert on Saturday night, 7:30, at the Rodef Shalom.
Yes.
It's in the Levy Hall there.
Yes, thank you.
Right across the street from QED. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure.